We're doing the Rambam's introduction to the 10th chapter in Sanhedrin, and we are about to begin the section in which the Rambam will enumerate the 13 principles. This is the source for what people often quote, the 13 principles. This is where the Rambam enumerates them, and this is after the Rambam has introduced us to the concept of Olam Haba, Gan Eden, Tchiyat HaMetim, and the Rambam has explained the term apikores, as our Mishnah described, the people who do not have a portion in the world to come. And now the Rambam says this is the fitting place to explain what are the foundations, the principles that our Torah is based upon. So there are many things that are important in the Torah. We say every letter in the Torah is important. We say the verse that describes that Timna was a pilegesh to Eliphaz, which seems to be totally unnecessary information, but because the Torah recorded it, so the Torah being God's word and not a history book and not a storybook, so even that verse in Bereishis that describes who Eliphaz's concubine was, that verse has tremendous importance. What is its importance? I don't know. But the tradition we have, and I think logic dictates that if God said that those words should be written, then they have importance. Nonetheless, there are principles, there are concepts that are fundamental to the faith. And the Rambam is enumerating the 13 foundations of the faith. So there are going to be many things that we're going to look at and say, hey, this is important. Yeah, it's important. It's important not to kill. Is that a foundation of the faith? No. It's one of the most basic commandments that God gave us. But it's not a foundation of the faith. The Rambam over here is going to enumerate the 13 philosophical concepts which are fundamental and basic to Judaism. If after we finish the 13 we have a question why something wasn't enumerated, then we'll see. We'll deal with it then. But I think that if we approach it with this understanding, that that's what the Rambam is explaining to us, then hopefully we won't have questions. Hayesod HaRishon, the first foundation, Metziut HaBorei Yishtabach, the fact that the Creator is existent. V'hu sheyesh shem matzui b'shlemut ofanei hamtziut. There is existent being in that is completely whole in all aspects that one can be whole. V'hu ilat mitziut kol hanimtzaim. He is really the cause, the initial cause of all that exists. Uvo kiyum mitziutam. And things remain existent only because God wills them to be so. Umimenu nimshach lehem hakiyum. From him comes their sustenance. The fact that things remain existent is because God enables them to remain in existence. We think, using Newton, everything is the way it is, and unless there is a force changing it from its state, it would remain the way it is. And the Rambam is telling us that even the most basic matter is only in existence because God wills it to be in existence. And at every given moment, God is enabling the molecular structures of the world to remain the way they are, all the forces and even the most basic mundane matter remains as is because God wants it to remain so. Ve'ilu neter siluk mitziuto, and if we could imagine that God would leave the scene, he wouldn't be around, ki az batla mitziut kol nimtza, then everything that is in existence would cease to be in existence, ve'lo yisharu kayamim b'mitziut, they would not remain in existence, ve'ilu. So the first side is, if we think that God wasn't here for a second, then nothing would remain in existence, which is an important concept. We sometimes think God created the world, let it run. And the Rambam is not saying that the world doesn't have laws of nature. The Rambam is not saying that don't think you leave go of this cup, it might fall, it might not. That's true, but God did create norms in the world. But we have to recognize that even those norms are only around because God wants them to be so at any given moment. Those who wanted to say the what's called the watch theory, just like a watchmaker can make a watch that remains in existence after his passing, so too God could make a world, and that doesn't mean that God is still around, that God made the world. Maybe he's gone, maybe he died. All kinds of theories that were around. So the Rambam, in this first principle, is precluding that. The Rambam is saying not only is the first principle of Judaism that God created the world, but that God is what keeps the world running. God has a direct contact with the world and maintains all the laws of nature that we're accustomed to, even the fact that matter remains as is, that's all God's doing at any given moment. And if God were not around, then nothing else would remain. And if we can imagine that everything in the world disappeared, there would be nothing left in the world, whatever that means, that would still not cause him not to exist. And he wouldn't be lacking. Because God is not lacking anything and does not need anything. All the forces that are external to God, be it the angels or what's less than angels, everything needs God in order to exist. But God does not need anything else. That is the first foundation, the first principle, and the verse that teaches us this principle is the first commandment, I am Hashem your God that took you out of Egypt, etc. So God is the God taught us that he created the world, he runs the world, and at any given moment the fact that the world remains in existence is the fact that God wills it so. And this is a concept we find throughout the Tehillim. We find it throughout the prophets. We say, let's go off to a different concept for a second. Space. We're accustomed to thinking of space as a concept equal, let's say, to mathematical principles. Meaning if 1 plus 1 is 2, so there's only a certain amount of things that can stand in this space. And if God exists, then we think God exists in space. We begin with a concept, and we fit God into the concept. The verses throughout the prophet teach us that it's not that way. God created space. God made space for the world. Meaning, when God created the world, God, so to speak, David, Tzimtzum, God limited himself to make space for the world. No, I just figured this is a concept you would like. All the time we think of what? No. We could translate it loosely that God, so to speak, minimized himself, God, so to speak, limited himself to make room for the world. If you want to think about it in a joking manner, so you could say, is God everywhere? Is God here? God is here, so I'm God. I'm not God. You're God? God is there, but you're not God. So God, so to speak, has limited his presence. Because if I am here and I am not God, so then God, there's an element of God's not being here. Because I'm not God. Right? So God, even though God is everywhere, we don't say that everything is God. We say there is an aspect where God is everywhere. But there, only to a certain level. Yeah? Okay. So going back to the Rambam, God created the world, and when we say that, we also include this concept that God created space, and God gave the world his space, so to speak. We think of God as God's in space, right? God's God takes up space. No, it's the other way around. That's what the prophets teach us. God says, I made space for the world. The world is in my space. I created the concept of space. You guys with me? It's a little bit early in the morning for that. Kind of. Okay, so let's deal with it in science, in scientific terms.
What's question.
Yeah.
Is it the same idea that he created this place, or
I didn't follow?
Hashem created this place, or he made the simsu.
Why not both? Why is it either or?
Okay, it's both. How it can be both? I mean, creating means simsum. There's another definition that he. This is not very. It's not going to be great for the moment. He folded in a part of himself within himself to make a place that was a space, not apart from himself, but aliyah, aside from himself.
Okay, sorry.
That's not very good.
Not with you. I don't think you said anything.
He created. He was before space and time. Yet at a certain point, when Tzimtzum occurred, he said, "In order to create a creation that is apart from me, I have to make it so it will not be nullified in me, so something else can exist. I have to make it apart from me."
Yeah. So because
he didn't create, but he makes Tzimtzum. He created space.
Why? I don't see why you have to define them as two different things. If we say that God exists external to the concept of space, and God had to create the concept of space, so it could be Tzimtzum and creating the concept of space. I don't see why they're contradictory.
I don't see why you mean Tzimtzum if he's outside of the concept of space.
It depends, because we don't fully understand what it means to be beyond the concept of space, so we use the term Tzimtzum. In truth, once we say he is beyond that concept, I'm not sure we would have to say Tzimtzum. Right. So now are you guys with me? Or do we have to give more examples?
Right next to you, Rob.
Okay.
Got you.
Ryan?
Yeah?
Lars?
Yeah.
David, Michael, yeah? Yeah, on the page, second paragraph, all the way to the left. Page Kuf Mem Aleph. Page Kuf Mem Aleph, you see, yeah, are we on the same page? There are photocopies, some of them have photocopies on both sides. Okay. Page Kuf Mem Aleph, the leftmost column, second paragraph. Vayisod Hasheni, the second foundation, Achduto Yitala, God's singularity, which we will explain after we finish reading what the Rambam has said. Vehu Sheze Ilat Hakol Echad, and this concept is that the cause of everything is singular. Lo kachdu tamin, not like a singular type. And not like a singular kind of thing, meaning you have singularity where you say I'm singular, there's no one else like me, yeah, but I'm human, there are a lot that share the same genius, the same species, the same type. That's not what we mean when we say God is singular. And not like a singular thing which is composed of many components, שהוא מתחלק לאחדים רבים, that can be further divided into more singular things. ולא אחד כגוף הפשוט, and not singular like a body, שהוא אחד במספר, that is singular in number, אבל מקבל החלוקה והפיצול עד בלי סוף. When you have something that's singular in number, realistically, you could divide it, and divide it ad infinitum. You could keep dividing it. אלא הוא יתעלה אחד, but God, who is exalted, is singular, achdut she'en achdut kamoha b'shum panim, a singularity that there is nothing else that is singular like God in any way. V'zai yisod ha'shini, and this is the second foundation, mora alav ma she'ne'emar, the verse that teaches us this is the verse Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, Hashem our God, Hashem is one. And when we say one, we mean one in the most infinite sense, which to us is a little bit beyond our perception. Everything we know is not that way. And we have to recognize philosophically that God is that way. obviously, we're always going to hit the point of what, I don't remember which philosopher says, ilu yedativ ha'itiv. If I'd really know God, I'd be God. In order to, huh? No.
I have one example of this. It's just like all numbers, like 6, 7 or million, all are made up of one, number one. It's just when you say two, it's actually two ones. So after all, everything is one, of one. So it works this way.
Okay, I think the concept is understood, right? Do we have to expand on it? As much as we understand. Yeah? Yeah, no? Okay. Third principle. Vayisod ha-shlishi, this is where we'll end today with the third principle, third foundation, shlilat ha-gashmut mimenu. We do not attribute any physical aspects to God. V'hu sheze achad, and this concept is that this singular being, eino guf, does not have a body, v'lo koch beguf, nor is it a physical force. V'lo yare morot hagufim, and things that affect physical bodies, physical beings, do not occur with respect to God. We don't refer to God. God doesn't have the concept of movement or rest. Not in God's essence, nor by coincidence. This has no relevance to God, being that God is not physical. And that's why our sages taught us that there's no such concept with regard to God as connecting, separating. V'amru, and our sages taught us, lo yishiva v'lo amida, in heavens there's no such concept as sitting, standing, lo oref, no back, lo ipui, no tiredness. There's no such concept with regard to heavens. Klomar, as if to say, lo pirud v'hu oref. There's no separation. You can't say God has a front and a back. That would have to be separating, applying to God physical terms. Lo chibur kmo ipui, mean the afu bechatef plishtim, klomar itchefum bechatef ulitchabrem bahem. The Rambam explains the word lo ipui, meaning a connection. That the word ipui could mean to connect with something, to try and when you carry something on your shoulder, so you're having physical contact with that thing. And with regard to God, we don't use the terms of physical contact. The prophet said, to who can you compare God? To who can you compare me, God says, to equate me to? And if God had any physical traits, if God really had a physical body, then we could compare him to other physical bodies. And everything that we find in the books describing God, with terms that seem physical terms, terms that apply to physical beings, we find in the Torah terms like walking, standing, sitting, talking. We say God spoke to Abraham, so that's physical. So the Rambam says all these terms, and kulam derech hashala, they're borrowed terms. It doesn't mean that God spoke with sound waves the way we speak. Abraham did not hear with his ears. As we spoke a few weeks ago in Parshas Bishalach or Yisro, we spoke about the concept of prophecy. The prophecy is heard with the neshama. It's not heard with the physical ear. It's not that Abraham heard God speak the way he'd hear Sarah speak. Abraham didn't hear it with his physical ear. He heard it with his soul. And for those of you who weren't here or don't remember it, you can see we have a good 25 minutes on this. I'm pretty sure it's Parshas Bishalach summary. 5, 7, 6, 7.
Just to play devil's advocate, couldn't he theoretically have caused there to be sound waves transmitted to sound? But it wouldn't mean that he has a mouth that made those sounds. I mean, the same
agreed.
Way Agreed. Can send a wind to blow the trees, he can send a sound wave. Doesn't
right? He could send the prophet to talk in his name, he could send an angel to talk in his name, 100%. This concept that the Rambam is discussing on the surface is coming to preclude all the pagan concepts. Let's not forget that the Torah was given in a time where most of the world was living with Homer, the Iliad, the Odyssey, with myths that everyone was believing stories about gods coming down, kidnapping women, adulterous gods, gods that drink wine, gods that are bloodthirsty,
play poker.
Yeah, gods that gamble, gods that have wars with one another. Comes the Torah and says, no such concept. God is beyond all of this. God is not physical. God does not take physical form. It's true that God, I don't think the Rambam means to say God can't do something physical. We know that when King David was going to fight the Philistines, so God told him, when you hear the wind rustling through the trees over the Philistines, that's when you could go fight the war. So one could understand it literally. We know that the Rambam holds that angels also do not take on physical form. And on that, the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says angels will take on physical form.
Is there a form of angels that are chetzi and chetzi?
I don't know.
Physical form, because Rambam says that they don't have physical form. I've heard that there is one type of angel, but there's a demon that has a physical form.
Demon, yeah. An angel, no. So the Rambam over here is telling us with regard to God that we cannot apply the physical terms, and when the Torah or the prophets describe God in physical terms, those are borrowed terms. They don't mean literally. Ukmo she'amru, just as I said, Dibra Torah kilshon bnei adam. Sages taught us the rule, the Torah sometimes speaks like people speak, using borrowed terms. V'chvar dibru bnei adam b'inyan zeh arbeh. And this has been spoken about much between men. Different people have spoken about this concept, so the Rambam doesn't feel a need, I guess, to elaborate. V'zeh yisod ha-shlishi, and this is the third principle, the third foundation. Hu asher moreh alav, ma she'nemar ki lo ra'item kol tmuna. And the verse that alludes to this principle is the verse that stresses that when God appeared to the Jewish people, he did not show them any picture, they didn't see any physical form. You did not perceive God as one that is in a picture. You did not perceive him as being something physical. Because God is not a physical body, nor is he any physical force. God can make physical things happen, but he himself is not. He himself is not a physical body. Any questions?
So pretty much all the allusions to every allusion, I think it's called anthropomorphizing Hashem, is an attempt for us to, from our perspective, to try to wrap our heads around what's going on up there with the, obviously it doesn't have physical form.
It's not so obvious. There were those who erred in this. There were those who read the Torah.
But there are certain principles that lend themselves to him stretching out his right hand. And, you know, it's an allusion to something else, right? To chesed or something like that, a quality, when we say it's an allusion to something else. Yeah? Or if the power came from, not from the front of him, but from over his shoulder, it's an allusion.
Yeah.
It's an allusion for us to try to understand what's going on, try to put a handle on it.
Yes, we say it's an illusion. Don't forget, we're working off of the Rambam. Today we're living in a world where the Rambam is the norm. The Rambam came to the scene where there were other opinions within Judaism that were also accepted. There were opinions that said, the Torah says God took the Jews with an outstretched hand, so that means that God does take on the physical form of an outstretched hand. Is God's finger, so God does take on a physical form of finger. They were still very distant from what the pagans believed. They didn't attribute to God any of the physical desires and things like that, but they did say that God appears in physical form sometimes. The Rambam said they're nuts. This isn't the Torah, this isn't the way the Torah teaches us. The Rambam goes very strongly against them. You see over here, the Rambam is basically saying these are the 13 principles of the Torah, and these are the foundations he's laying. We should bear in mind that the Rambam is writing this as a young man. Everything he's writing here is when he is about the age of 20. It takes some courage to write things this strongly. The Rambam doesn't tell us clearly how much of what he's writing is on tradition and how much is his own conclusions. We would assume that being that the Rambam learned by rabbis who learned by rabbis that go back to the time of the Gemara and the Mishnah, that much of what the Rambam is writing is tradition. But we know that some of what the Rambam is writing is influenced by what he studied from Aristotle, and our sages commented on that. You find in the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, in the Rashba, others, they commented on some of the Rambam's philosophies in the Guide for the Perplexed. When it comes to the 13 principles, they were pretty much adopted as the tenets of Jewish faith. They were accepted, so much so that today when someone comes to do Giyur, they'll test them on this. That's how we started this class. Guys were going for Giyur and they wanted a class in depth on understanding the 13 principles. So that's where this class started. So this has been adopted. This has been accepted. Yeah?
Can you just back up real quick?
Sure.
You said that there were other folds of Judaism that believe that God did stretch out his hand, like he took on physical aspects. So we now believe that that is totally wrong?
Seems that way, yeah. The Rambam's what's become accepted. Yeah. The reason I say seems that way is because when you guys will Bezrat Hashem learn a lot more, so you'll reach a stage where hopefully you'll learn Kabbalah. And when it comes to Kabbalah, when you start going into the depths of understanding the secrets of the Torah, so then sometimes there can be concepts that seem to go a little bit different than this. We say there's Olam Katan, Olam Gadol, say that a human body is representative of a larger spiritual godly body. Not that God has physical form, but there are aspects, like David was alluding to, there are aspects where God's communication with us and the terms that are used with regard to God do allude to certain aspects of the way God reveals himself to us. Meaning God's right hand will refer to God's mercy. God's left hand will refer to something else. When we speak about God as an old man sitting on a throne, so it doesn't mean God took on the physical form of an old man, but we will get to it in Daniel, where he sees a prophetic vision of God as an old man with white hair, says Levushei Kitlag Chiva. His clothing is like white snow. V'se'ar Reshei, and the hair on his head, Ka'amar Nekei, like clean wool. Okay, so what's Daniel telling us? He saw Santa Claus. And I saw a man with white with a white garment and fluffy white hair. What's he saying? So on a simple level, he's telling us a prophetic vision which he saw, which teaches us something, but it doesn't mean literally that this is the shape God had. The Kabbalists did expand that the different ways that God reveals himself do teach us things, and that's why they will refer to things in a way that seems a little bit different than the Rambam. I don't think it is different. But so I'm saying as you learn more, as I learn more, these things have to be more defined. I think that at every level, everyone agrees God does not have physical form. But the physical descriptions will have more meaning than the way the Rambam is just saying. It's a general term. The Torah is using borrowed terms to make it sound nice. They do have deeper meanings, these borrowed terms. You with me? Okay. Any questions?
He could potentially, though, take on form if he wanted to.
So that brings us to a general philosophical question. Can God do things that would seem to contradict his being God? How far do we say God could limit himself? Can God, like I say, what? So that leads us to a realm of questions which I think are beyond our ability to answer. What can God do and what can't God do?
So it's said that God limited himself in making Olam Hazeh.
because it's not perfect. If it was perfect, it wouldn't need to be here because we're perfecting the norm. So he created, he limited himself, and that he, in his creating the world, if he would have done it like he should, if he would have normally done it, he would have created it perfectly. However, he limited himself. And in that limited, the world's not perfect. And so he, in his limiting himself, he brought us into a partnership of us perfecting ourselves and in the world together to perfect it. So he limited himself in that he didn't create the world being perfect. He created being imperfect. And his natural inclination is to create perfect world.
So that, I think, needs expansion, but it's only if you guys want to take the next half hour to discuss it. Needs introductions and upon introductions. I don't know if you guys want us to discuss it, so we could. But I thought we would go over to Halacha maybe Thursday night. This coming Thursday, we have class. Most of the class will learn Miguel's Esther and Daniel and stuff like that.